views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Voices of Women is a talk radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Oh, welcome to Voices of Women on this lovely May day. Question for you, are you dancing around the maypole? I remember it was a good one year that we made one and what fun that was. But I know there's so much more to that ritual than that. And I'm sure you can pull that and find out the ritual, the true meaning behind in the maypole. But today we're going to talk about the age of conscious evolution with Nicolia Christie. She's an author, writer, contemporary spiritual teacher. Her first book, was 2012, A Clarion Call, Your Soul's Purpose in Conscious Evolution. That told her story of how she transformed her life after a shamanic death and had 7 years of a dark night of the soul. And she has a fairly recent book that's entitled For Conscious Evolution. So welcome, Nicolia.
Hold on, Chris. She dropped out. I'll get her back on. Stand by.
I see. Yeah, okay. I see we lost contact. We're in Skype, I think, or phone. She's in London, so you know we'll have to get reconnected. I'll tell a little bit about her. In 1997, she began a five-year series of extra-dimensional visitations, and each induced an overwhelming and paralyzing high-voltage current that would immobilize Nicolia's entire body and catalyze out-of-body experiences. So these visits and OBEs occurred regularly until November 2002. And at that point, she consciously chose to end the experiences following a deathly collapse on March 16, 2002, and a change in the OBE experiences due to her total state of physical and energetic collapse. The unendurable intensity of the voltage and current that had coursed through her body for 5 years had resulted in a death experience on Easter Sunday, 2002, and she consciously experienced physically dying. And what immediately followed was a life-threatening state of illness that took her 7 years to recover from. So then it was in 2009, she finally emerged from that, what she calls her a seven-year dark night of the soul, and began writing and channeling her first book, which is called The Clarion Call. And then during the latter part, she came to understand and realize the reason for her condition, and then in doing so affected her own healing and a total transformation of her life. Nicolia has written about this profound experience in her book, 2012, A Clarion Call, Your Soul's Purpose in Conscious Evolution. And so then in those early hours of, I guess it was October 15th, 2009, she spontaneously propelled into an exalted state, which she described as a state beyond emotions, thoughts, feelings, mind, or awareness of self, and into absolute oneness with all that is. And she experienced a temporary state of enlightenment and herself as pure love, pure light, pure bliss, as well as a state of the absolute union of the human self and the divine soul. So now in her new book, she gives a lot of great information on how we can create a contemporary spirituality, exercises for people to do, and we're going to get her back online to talk about this, I hope, any second. Hey, Brian, how are we doing?
Working on it, my friend, working on it. Stand by. You keep talking. I'll be right with you.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'm not sure what to talk about now. We got to get her on. But, you know, I'm going to read. I can read something from her book. I'm quite impressed with a lot of the things that she talks about. you know, because it's about our spiritual evolution. And she, one of the work that she has people do in this book, which I think are great exercises, is exploring the, it's called the seven arrows that she picked up from First Nations work, what she calls, the seven dark, there's seven dark, there's seven light, and seven rainbow arrows. And it's a map for evolving consciousness. So when we get her on, we're going to have her talk about these. But the first, the dark arrows are ones that kind of keep us in our unconscious level, our things that we need to heal and work on. It's kind of like the psychological aspects of deeply looking into your wounding, your inner wounding. And so the first one is attachment, you know, to look at who you're attached to and what you gain from that. She really has you looking into your feelings. And so with that, the spiritual lesson for attachment is to learn non-attachment. And so she gives a spiritual mantra for all of these. And it's about loving completely, deeply, completely loving and accepting yourself when you are doing this work and letting go of attachments. The second one is the second dark arrow is dependency. Who are you dependent on? And where do you experience that in your body? And staying with that feeling, that you feel the need is behind feeling dependent. And again, she has a mantra about deeply, completely loving and accepting myself, even though part of me feels dependent. So these are great exercises to do. And I am told by the station to take a break right now. So we'll take a quick break so that we can get Nicolia back on the line.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
We Carry the Light with host Dr. Susan Allison is the show that inspires you to find the light within and shine your light in the world. You'll hear from guests who model how to be the highest, brightest, most evolved, fulfilled, and conscious humans possible. Tune in each Thursday, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com and let Dr. Susan help you discover that you carry the unique light that only you can shine.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Sky Siegel co-hosts one of today's most popular psychic shows, Angels and Answers, with Artie Hoffman as she communicates healing messages from the spirit world. These messages can be astounding, enlightening, and life-changing. Born with the God-given talent of inner guidance and the amazing ability to heal, Sky has healed thousands of people. Schedule a reading with Sky now. Call 908-500-1474 and visit skyofangels.com.
Dr. Love's Quickies.
Mary's about ready to give Love the shove, because no matter what she tries, guys don't know that she's alive. To turn guys on, she needs to turn on those green lights, nonverbal cues that say, over here. Most guys won't approach unless they're cleared for landing. So ladies, to kickstart your love life, turn on those green lights and flash your pearly whites. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf of AskDrLove.com.
Well, welcome back to Voices of Women. So sorry about that, Nicole. We lost you over the waters. So I gave everybody a little bit of your background of what happened to you, having your what you call your shamanic death and your 7 years of the dark night of the soul. Is there anything that you want to add to let people know about that, how that impacted you?
Well, I mean, it was the most transformational experience of my life. And in a way, it's like who I am now is not who I was before, but kind of is who I was, but it's like the higher self. I talk about that in the book, about the higher self incarnating, grounding, coming into being, as it were. So in a way, it's more of my higher self that's incarnated, as grounded, as anchored, that is pushing my work forward and pushing the message of my own work, which really I'm only just in the very early stages of putting out there.
Well, you're doing a great job with these books and this Contemporary Spirituality for Evolving World. I was just sharing how you created a map with these seven arrows. I started that, so let's just kind of go there. I shared with people the first couple of arrows about attachment and dependency, and then how you have a mantra, you know, to clear that by loving and accepting ourselves, which is so important. But so I would love for you to share a little bit more about these arrows and how they work together. There's the dark arrows and light arrows, and then you even have the rainbow arrows.
That's right, yeah. Well, these aren't my arrows. These are an ancient oral wisdom teaching tradition from the First Nation people. But I was really struck by them. And, you know, in my own integration process, I left no stone unturned in terms of my own integration, awakening, evolution. And this model in particular it really, really spoke to me. So what I was so struck by them that eventually, years down the line, when I'd kind of gone through a massive process with them, I decided I wanted to write a deep, deep account of each of the arrows. So I meditated on each arrow over a period of months, and came through with what it absolutely felt like it wanted to speak to a contemporary world, because this is an ancient oral wisdom teaching that in a way probably arose at a time where the collective consciousness was in a very different place. You know, it was kind of isolated within its own community, if you like, with the First Nations people. So now I wanted to bring this into the contemporary world in this kind of more collective, integrating, evolving and awakening process that is happening for humanity. So this is why I decided to write what I believe is the first ever in-depth account of each of these arrows. I work a lot with the concept of self with a small s, which is self-ego. The psychological level of my work is all about the self with a small s, ego self, and self with a capital S, and higher self. So with the arrows, the dark arrows from my perspective represent self as an ego self, the unintegrated self, the unintegrated ego. The light arrows represent self as in true authentic self, this authentic being we step into, which in a way was the result of my own 7 year shamanic death. And then the rainbow arrows speak very much to the higher self. So again, the higher self is what I call the bridge between the self, the true authentic self, and soul. So we have the bridge in between the higher self. The higher self is like the psychic antennae, the metaphysical antennae, and is the communicator, if you like, between soul, spirit, source, and higher self. And self with a capital S. So this is the concept of these, and I'm taking it one step further because I realize there's another level to bring in with these arrows, which is what I'm going to call the seven diamond arrows. And the seven diamond arrows are about self-transcendence. So we move from, in this model, if you like, of self-development, we move from self-awareness to self-integration. So we've got self-awareness, which is self-ego, to self-integration, which is self with a capital S, self-actualization, actualize self in the world, higher self incarnate, the space I'm in myself in terms of my own journey, and self-transcendence, which is beyond self, beyond personal, and very much more about being, if you like, a being of light incarnate on the earth working to what I would call a divine blueprint and not really working out of the genetic blueprint. So that's kind of the map. So the diamond arrows are to be written and added.
Oh, that sounds great. And that is where we're moving to. I think that's what you're talking about, of, you know, going, evolving the world, you know, this conscious evolution. And I think there's a lot of people very much aware of this and yet kind of lost to how do we get there? And that's one of the things about your book is diving into these the shadow areas, the dark arrows of dark arrows, and you know, dealing with our judgments and our comparison and expectations, self-importance, and then it seems like you wrote that each one corresponds. Like as you are, I think I read in your book, as you deal with and letting go of the attachment or the dependency, you you can move into these light arrows of self-awareness, self-acceptance. But it seems like also I get a feeling like you're going back and forth, because I can see myself floating back and forth between all three, you know, and I go, oh, I feel, you know, the rainbow, you know, introspection, trust, in wisdom, illumination, you know, and then I'm back in, well, the ego gets caught up and I'm back in judgment, comparison. And then I go, oh, okay, self-aware, self-acceptance, love myself. And I'm back there and, you know, and we're just getting, I think we're all going through this. We're being tossed around in this soup of arrows.
Well, exactly. And I think what we're doing as well is as we're moving into the light arrows and we're beginning to claim those arrows, if you like, embody those arrows, they can lead us into the deeper layers. You know, if we look at sort of the seven dark arrows and we look at the analogy of an onion, you know, we're working through the layers until we get to the core issues that are at the bottom of each one of those seven dark arrows. So we are constantly back and forth. The higher we're going in ourselves, the deeper we're able to go into the shadow material as well, until eventually we clear that. That can take lifetimes. You know, it's not necessarily that we're going to do this all in one lifetime. It just depends, you know, how high we're going, how deep we're willing to go, and how emotionally ready we are, because there are many people in the world who are just not emotionally ready. They don't have the strength, emotional strength, to be able to go into the deepest healing places within themselves. So this sort of what I call a map for evolving consciousness is for the people that want to dip their toe in the water, and is also equally for the people that want to dive into the deepest parts of themselves. It serves on all levels.
Yeah, so true. And I was reading this morning and working it, and then at some point it became overwhelming, like, oh my goodness, will I ever get through this? And it is a journey. It is a lifetime journey. And it can be kind of depressing. It's kind of like, oh, well, why bother? Because it's so much work. I'll never attain this illumination. And yet that's just the ego speaking. I'm back in the, you know, the judgment and comparison and my expectation that I'm going to be able to do this in this lifetime. And yet it's a goal. And when you do reach those states of when you're in that rainbow, feeling that wisdom, feeling that open heart to heart communication, it's a wonderful place to be. So it's kind of an incentive to, like, I want more of this. How do I get there? Well, it's what you said. It's that onion going deep in again, because these shadow parts will keep showing up until we really get to, like you said, get to the core of the healing.
I mean, we're here, we're incarnate, we're spirit incarnate in human bodies, because there are these clearings that still need remain there for us. So I believe that every human being on this planet has some level of shadow material that they're still clearing. It just depends, you know, what awareness is with that person as to how far they are in their integration process and how deep, if you like, they've been able to go with the clearing of the shadow material that exists within all of us. That's why we're here. We wouldn't be here if we didn't have those levels to our being that we've come here to clear.
Yeah, so true. So share a little bit with the audience, when you had this spontaneous exalted state, that absolute oneness with all, what that was like, because I'm sure
I mean, it's interesting because I don't write about anything that I haven't at some level experienced or gnosis to be true, you know, to be a real experience. And you know, when I just backtracking for a moment, when I was when I collapsed in 2002 and I had the two psychic attacks, which I don't know if you actually mentioned those in your intro when you guys were trying to get me back on the call, But I'd never, ever had a psychic attack before. So I'd had 5 years from 1997 to 2002. The most amazing out-of-body experiences, you know, the things I saw and the things I was shown, the things that I was that were revealed to me were astonishing. And I, in a way, I was still in that place of innocence, of naivety, if you like, in a sense. So I didn't truly believe that, let's say, we could call it evil, but certainly psychic attacks existed. And then when I collapsed in 2002 and my vibration, my frequency flatlined, which happens when you're ill or if you're very depressed or if you have a drug or alcohol problem, your frequency lowers. When you get ill to the point of death, it flatlines. And at that point, when I was on that point of death, of flatlining, that's when I had the first of two psychic attacks in 2002. And that's when I believed. I realized I've had first-hand experience. Actually, there are negative experiences in the astral realms that we need to protect ourselves from. So equally, in answer to your question, I'd been at that end of the scale and experienced the reality of that and adjusted my situation accordingly to make sure that never happened again. On the other end of the scale, yes, in 2009, I think it was, 2010, I can't remember now, I just returned from France, the south of France. I'd just actually been to Rennes Le Chateau for the first time, which is the most, spiritually, the most astonishing place I think I've ever visited on the planet. I think outside of Sedona, because Sedona is quite amazing as well, in Arizona. And I had this profound experience. So I got back from the south of France, I'd gone to bed, and this situation that happens when I'm about to go into one of these altered states occurred, and then in came that experience, which was absolutely amazing. Basically, yes, I left my body. I saw myself floating above my body. I felt myself to be my transcendent self. And in a way, because of this experience I had, again, it showed me reality, it showed me what can be, and I imprinted that and I bring that experience back into me. So again, when I'm writing from personal experience. When I say I'm going to be writing about these seven diamond arrows, I'm able to do that because of that experience and some others I've had, but specifically that experience of enlightenment. And I was just love. There was no thought. You know, I had no thoughts. There was no emotions. I was simply and only purely love. It was a state of total bliss. It was amazing.
Mm-hmm. I've had a few experiences in meditation like that, where I remember one where I just dissolved into little beats, you know, little pieces, and it was just pure love, because it's in a dream, you know, and it doesn't last. It's just, but it's a wonderful feeling to go into that. And wouldn't it be a dream to always be in that, to bring that state here, to always be in that place of love? But we still have these shadow parts we have to deal with, and we get triggered.
Well, you see, this is what it showed me when I had that experience, was because there was no mind, there was no emotions. It was beyond that. That, of course, you know, shows us that we're in this body. We are, in a way, healing and transcending our emotions, healing and transcending the lower mind, the mind that has this thirst and quench for information all the time. And it shows us where we can go in ourselves beyond those spaces, and how do we incarnate that into this dimension? And you know, are we even ready as a collective for that? Not quite yet, but that is there. It's in the ether, it's in the energy, it's there for us to embody that at some point when we're ready.
Yes. Yeah, and that's great. And you brought it up before, a lot of things that we need to deal with is our ego, the small s, that, and we're in a time of shifting from, you know, the ego, as you write about, is that it's driven by our survival and our fear. And we need to, my understanding about ego is to acknowledge its role, that it is for our survival, and to thank it, but to not live from it, to live from our authentic self. And so that's why, you know, you have people going through like this, you know, First Nations system of the seven arrows to deal with that. But the ego is such a, and we just have, you know, if you want to share something about the ego before we go on break, which is going to be a very, very short time.
Exactly. Well, ego, again, is it's how we've we've survived, as you say. It's how we've survived. It's, yeah, I wrote a fairy tale called Ego Self Fairy Tale. And to me, that really sums up the journey of the ego, the purpose of the ego to the adapted self in order for the authentic self, the true self, to survive. Because the true self, the authentic self, is the most beautiful, the most sublime, the most divine aspect of who we are. And when we incarnate into this dimension, the frequency here alone is very dense. So as we come in, we are these, you know, beautiful, refined beings, and we're hit by the reality of incarnating into this dimension. And the ego comes in, it's a survival mechanism. It comes in order to help us to survive until we can reach a certain age of maturity where we can recognize, okay, now I have the strength I have. I am grown, I am mature enough to be able to embody this true self of who I am. And in order to do that, we need to...
Oh, I'm just, well, let's get, we'll do that when we come back from our break. This is Chris Stainless with Voices of Women. We'll come back and talk more with Nicola Christie.
Tune in to Sheer Alchemy with Leslie Fontaine on TransformationTalkRadio.com and get ready to stir up your passions, remove your blocks, and shift into an entirely new existence. Speaker, teacher, channel, clairvoyant, Leslie Fontaine is a transformation catalyst who channels a powerful energy from Source to catapult listeners into living the life they were born to live. Whether it's shifting from scarcity to abundance, from emotional pain into joy, or from illness into health, Leslie will help you step into the true essence and power of all that you are with the help of the Ascended Masters and Archangels. You will not be the same. Visit TransformationTalkRadio.com for show dates and times, and LeslieFontaine.com to say yes to explosive abundance.
Tired of traditional talk? People pontificating about this or that, the left or the right? Sometimes the truth is just all lost in the noise. Tune in each week to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher on TransformationTalkRadio.com, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, as nationally known guests talk about what's important to you, your life, your concerns, and your success. Tune in and turn on to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher. Visit ChuckGallagher.com for more information.
Hi, I'm Leslie Fontaine with Sheer Alchemy on Transformation Talk Radio, and here's your tip for the day. What is abundance? It isn't the same to all of us. So what's your personal gold? Is it the full expression of yourself in business, or in love, or in the creation of a book or product, or the service you offer? All of the above? When we step into allowing our joy that corresponds with our essence, we are literally coming out of the closet and making new choices. We look and sound different. We don't even talk about the same things anymore. We have a new spark. So wouldn't it make sense that it causes ripples and earthquakes around us? When you shift, you affect everyone around you. You're teaching people to step into all that they are, and they will come to you and say, "What have you done? What makes you different?" Join me on Sheer Alchemy on Transformation Talk Radio, and let's go deep with your abundance.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimelightRadio.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Called the Oprah of Radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's thedrpatshow.com for listening times in your area.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis, and I'm talking with Nicolia Christie. She's the author of Contemporary Spirituality for an Evolving World. So, Nicolia, can you give people your website, Facebook, where people can find you and about the work you do and your books and everything?
Yeah, my website is my name. So if they go onto your site, they'll see the little page you put up with me. They'll see my name, so they know how to spell it. And I think you've actually put the links to my Facebook page and my website on there anyway. But my website's my name and Facebook, just put my name in and there's three or four pages. I've got an author page, a main profile page I'm on most days, and my writer's page where I put my articles.
Yes, and you have a blog too. Yeah, so for everybody, it's Nicolia, Nicolya, Christie, Christi.com. Mm-hmm. So great. Yeah. So we were just talking about the ego and transcending that, but I know one of the important topics that you write about in your book and a lot of people are interested in is the talking about higher love. And So let's talk about that and what you mean by that and what's required to achieve a more fulfilled, you know, loving relationships or living a life with love in this sense of higher love.
Yeah. Well, in the book, again, I talk about the four categories of romantic partnership, companions, soulmates, twin souls and twin flames. And I differentiate twin souls and twin flames because so many people say, oh, I've met my twin flame, and I see it everywhere, twin flame this, twin flame that. And I just think to myself, no, to meet our twin flame, from my perspective, we have to be in the most integrated, evolved, and awakened state. And most of us aren't. So in order to be in a twin flame relationship, you really are at the end of, if you like, the incarnational journey to Earth. And my sense is that we reunite with our twin flame, we complete the journey here, and we go home together. We leave pretty much together or not too far apart from each other when we leave. Twin soul is the more common. I think when most people talk about twin, I'm with my twin flame, they're actually talking about twin soul. Now, with the twin soul, this is the higher octave from soulmates. So we have the soulmates where we know soulmates can be brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, children, aunts, uncles, grandparents, or lovers. The higher octave from that being the twin soul is when we've met that person that we truly do feel, this is my twin flame. But usually it's a twin soul because if there's processing going on, if there's pain going on, if there's deep growth going on that creates moments where we have to be apart from each other, we have to process things, or we're kind of, you know, tearing each other apart in order to get to those sort of deeper levels of wounding and heal them, that's going to be a twin soul relationship. Because in twin flame relationship, it's beyond personal. It's what I call Neptune love. Now, when we think about Neptune, we think about astrology. Neptune is the higher octave of Venus. Now, at a twin soul level and soulmate level, we can say relationship and love is about Venus and Mars. But when we reach the higher octave of twin soul and we're going into twin flame relationship, we've really reached what I call the Neptune state, the Neptunian state of love. And Neptune is represents unconditional love. I mean, it's the most sublime, unconditional, highest expression of love that can be described by astrology. So this is what twin flame love is. Now, in order to get there, if you like, to me, it's a journey that lasts for lifetimes. I do believe that there are some twin flames that come to the planet. They come with a very specific purpose. They need to be together for that purpose, to fulfill that purpose for humanity. And so they may meet at quite a young age and fulfill a long journey together where when they leave, they have left behind a legacy of the, the beautification of the world for them being in it. But generally, twin flames finding their way back to each other, it can go for lifetime after lifetime after lifetime, finding our way back. And I always say that when we're with the twin flame, a true, you know, the twin flame is the true twin flame, is the, it's the final love before we leave to go home. And that's the person that we, the being, the soul energy that we leave with. But we have to be.
Is that necessary in order to go home? Or you say go home or to ascend, that you have that twin flame?
No, because often the twin flame is actually not incarnate at the same time that we are.
Yeah.
It used to be extremely rare for two twin flames to be incarnate at the same time, but because of the times we're living in, because we are accelerating the vibration, we are raising the frequency, we're raising consciousness, we're doing a huge amount of work as awakened beings on this planet, it's like there's been a divine dispensation granted so that there are a greater quantity, if you like, of twin flames on this planet at this time than at any other time, probably until, if we go back to Atlantis or Lemuria, or we can say that that was when there was the greatest concentration of twin flames on the planet. But since then, the times we're in now, this is a time where we have the greatest concentration of twin flames, because also the vibration and frequency, because the consciousness is so evolved of twin flames, the vibration and frequency is a powerful light and it's a powerful accelerator. So when you bring these two beings together and they're acting as one in the world, they are acting for and on behalf of humanity. Their relationship isn't about working out their issues with each other. It's about working together for the greater good of the world, the greater good of humanity. So they really have a sense of great purpose, and they join together for that purpose.
I see that a lot in individuals, but not couples so much. So how would you recognize that? Or do you have an example of some people that are in that kind of relationship, that are serving the world, as you say?
Well, I'm not thinking of anyone off the top of my head in terms of couples, but what I will say is that there are certain beings on this planet that are and have been on this planet and have left, that have come in as a singular, highly evolved beings that are what I would say the twin flame incarnate together in one body, which can happen as well. So often you'll have a singular beacon of light who has a very, very powerful influence and impact over humanity, who comes in as a singular person, but is two as one, in one. But then you've got Yeshua, Magdalena, you know, they're two examples of twin flames who were incarnate at the same time, and they were serving a worldly purpose.
Mm-hmm. That makes me think about one of the rainbows is the balancing the male and female energies. And you talk in there about how when the soul first came to earth from heaven, I'm just reading from your book, we each descended as one androgynous being, with both masculine and feminine integrated in a whole consciousness within one body. So it's almost like you're talking about that too. If it is one person coming in with these divine qualities and integrated soul, that have they achieved that balance of the male and female, the androgynous being? Is that what you're talking about?
Highly evolved beings. The ones that go down in history for the incredible impact they've had on humanity are often the two in one as one. But at the same time, there are twin flames dotted around the planet, you know, few but some far between, but they are here. And they are individualized because they are completing their own process. They're at the final stages of their own, if you like, evolutionary process as spirits incarnate in human form before they're leaving. So you have two types of twin flame incarnate on the planet, the individual as ones and the individuated as one in two separate forms, masculine, feminine. You know, when I talk about these four categories of romantic partnership, again, we're coming back to self, higher self, and soul spirit. Because if we look at companions, we're looking very much at self-ego. Companions are pretty much that. There's not too much emotional connection and depth. They are companions. Then we go on to the twin soul. So we're looking at self with a capital S, the integrated self. Twin soulmates are integrating self. They're moving from self-ego into self with a capital S. Then we go to twin souls. We're looking at higher self. We are really beginning to embody the higher aspects of our being, of who we are incarnate. And then when we move to twin flame, we are really looking at soul, spirit, source incarnate into a human body or to two human bodies who are here for the greater good of Earth and humanity.
Yes, and I think she wrote about how, well, soulmates, you know, we talk, there's a lot of, you know, finding your soulmate, and that seems like the ultimate kind of relationship. And yet you you mentioned it, it's often a partnership that has contrast, that has, you know, they play an important role, and that some of it is being being there to for healing, for they're drawn to each other because of the differences, and to heal aspects of themselves.
Yes.
And so a lot of times we think of the soulmate as like that perfect person, and then we're in this relationship like, well, it's not so perfect because we have this conflict. Well, it's there for our lessons.
But in a way, they are the perfect person, because they're the perfect person for who we're needing at that time. And we are the person that we're the perfect person for them, for who they're needing, if they're conscious and awake. There's a lot of people in relationship. You know, when I look at soulmates, I see that we've got different, again, there's lower levels and higher levels of integration in the soulmate category. The lower levels of soulmate relationship will be people that feel very drawn to each other, have intense, passionate, crazy experiences with each other, and yet it's that classic can't live with but can't live without either. But if they're not integrated, they're not awakened and evolved enough, they're not able to take what's actually happening in the relationship and apply it in a healing capacity so they can evolve together and move forward. So what will happen is often they will separate, and then they will draw someone else towards themselves, again, another intense experience and so forth.
Until they're same lessons. You know, yeah. Well, it's break time again. This is Chris Stainis on Voices of Women. We'll take a short break and come back and continue our conversation with Nicolia Christie.
Marty Hoffman is the hottest psychic with the warmest heart and the host of the hit show Angels and Answers. A renowned psychic, medium, spiritual life coach, and an entertaining motivational speaker, Marty has helped over 15,000 people with his amazing intuitive gifts, his passion, and his humor. Call 877-ANGEL-02 to schedule a personal reading or to have your own psychic Marty party. That's 877-ANGEL-02. And visit MartyHoffman.com and Angels and Answers on Facebook.
My dream is to end homelessness.
My passion is living a green life.
My dream is to end poverty.
My passion is volunteering.
My passion is making a difference.
My dream is to cure Lyme disease.
My passion is rebuilding communities.
My passion is helping those in need.
My passion is caring for the elderly.
My dream is to find a cure for cancer.
My dream is to leave a better world for my children.
We all have that special passion, that lifelong dream that drives us to live our lives with meaning and to create a better world. No matter what drives you, we can all make an impact. Dr. Pat Basile is helping others make their dreams come true, so we can all help make our world a better world.
To learn more about how Dr. Pat is building a community of sharing hope, strength, funds, knowledge, and information, visit abetterworldcrowdfunding.com today. That's abetterworldcrowdfunding.com.
Holistic Medical Center is where you find it all. A healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. Hi, this is Dr. Darvish. If you have not found an answer to your chronic symptoms, you will find answers here at Holistic Medical Center. Our doctors find the root cause of your symptoms and guide your body towards healing naturally. We transform lives from within. Visit drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis, and I'm talking with Nicolia Christie, and she has the book Contemporary Spirituality for an Evolving World. It's a handbook for conscious evolution. So we've been talking about the higher love, the twin souls, twin flame, soulmates, and all that. And And I want to go back to, you know, I brought up the rainbow arrow, the one that's about balancing the feminine and masculine energies, because this is, I think, a crucial piece of this that has to do with this higher love. Mm-hmm. And if you can talk more about that.
Yeah, it's a very important piece. And again, you know, my work is about psychological integration, conscious evolution, spiritual awakening. So it is always what's so important for our well-rounded, holistic nature, if you like, is that we are psychologically integrated. And there are a lot of spiritual people who are very spiritually awakened, but they haven't done that grounding work. Now, if we look at that particular arrow, I often talk about the internalized male-female. So this is the internalized male. This is what we call the parental imagos. This is the internalized male-female from the authorities, our parents, the role models when we were, you know, toddlers, we were youngsters, we were teenagers. This is what we've internalized by what we've seen around us, what we've been around, the role models that have been given to us. We've internalized those imprints, if you like. So this is, again, internalized male-female is self with small s, is integrating that. There's exercises in the book to do that. We move, if you like, we evolve from the internalized, we heal and integrate the internalized male-female. We move on to what I call the inner male-female. Now, the inner male-female is self with a capital S. So sometimes when I've done exercises with people, I've said, and we've worked on the internalized male, I've asked them to think back into the history, the historical background. Think about the authority figures, the you know, adult male and female around them, and what image comes to them, and to sit with an image that immediately comes to the internalized male and the female, and usually it's quite a wounded image. We work through healing that, we get to the inner male female, which is self, authentic self, true self. What does this image look like? What do we see when we tune into that authentic true self of who we are? That's the inner male female. And then we move from that, we move to what I call the divine masculine, divine feminine, which links into higher self, soul, spirit, source. And so this is the higher octave. This is the most sublime, beautiful, divine being of who we are incarnate in form. So this model of internalized male, female, inner male, female, divine masculine, feminine, representing self with small s, ego, self, capital S, authentic true self, and higher self, soul, spirit, source, is an essential model to be looking at in the context of that rainbow arrow around balancing the male and female energies, because it's, again, a highly advanced state to move into, to move through inner male, through internalized male, female, into the inner male, and then into the divine masculine, feminine. And people say, well, you know, what is source? You know, because some people call it God, some people call it beloved, some people call it source. And I say, well, what is source? It's, in essence, it's love, you know, and it's, we know this, love is light. This is who we really are. We are love, we are light. Not the kind of light that we know here in this dimension, which is the most dense expression. We look at daylight, we look at artificial light, so forth. But the highest spiritual, highest dimensional, highest vibrational, highest frequency, light and love. And I say, let us always remember who we really are and what we really know, because this is who we really are. And this is the ultimate objective, I believe, of our evolutionary awakening and embodying towards self-transcendence, is to embody that state of self, higher self, soul, spirit, an integrated self with a small s, the integrated ego. Because no, we don't want a wounded ego ruling the show, but what we do need is an integrated ego. So we're not wanting to kill the ego or dismiss the ego, get rid of the ego. We want the ego as part of our holistic beingness, but the integrated ego.
And do you find that's one of the hardest things for people to do in their healing?
Again, it depends on, I guess, how ready we are, because one has to be ready for the depth healing. We can only go in as deep in our healing as we are able to go. I often used to say, when I used to sit with people in therapy, that a therapist can only go with a client, if you like, as deeply as they've gone in themselves. So if you sit with a therapist who has left no stone unturned, has turned themselves inside out, then you're sitting with somebody who's going to really be able to take you there. But if that person hasn't, and I've been in plenty of training groups where I can say that people that have been out there practicing as therapists have not gone there. So it's not easy, it's never going to be easy, but it's as accessible and possible as we are ready for it. And if we're not ready for it, then it is going to be harder, because there's a huge amount of sacrifice to integrate the ego, to heal it and integrate it. It usually requires a massive transformation one has to be willing to transform their life almost entirely, to have to let go of attachments to things they wanted to do, things they wanted to be, you know, people they were attached to, and so forth. It's a massive letting go of attachment, and not everyone's ready for that. You know,
That's true.
I think when we go into this awakening evolutionary process, we have to move into it and say, I am willing to do whatever it takes to let go of whatever I need to let go of, you know, to go the whole nine yards, as it were, to be able to embody myself in a way where I will be able to know what peace and fulfillment is in this lifetime. Because the only way we will ever truly know true fulfillment and peace is when we have evolved to a point of living and embodying the true and authentic self, which means we do need to heal and integrate the ego, and we have to be ready for that.
And one of the aspects that you talked about, and I think you just touched on it, is finding peace, inner peace and world peace. I think it's something, you know, we all want this world peace, and yet what you're saying is it's not really possible until we also do this inner work.
Absolutely. You know, we have tried everything. You know, for millennia, we have tried everything you can imagine to bring about world peace. And the reality is we've been so busy looking out there, trying to create out there, trying to solve the problem out there, and we're looking in the wrong place. You know, I've got a video, if anyone wants to put it into Google, it's just Inner Peace, World Peace with my name. And I say, you know, we've got over 7 billion people on the planet. If 7 billion people on the planet were taking care of that peace garden within themselves, we would live in the Garden of Eden here on Earth. The, you know, what we see out there in the world is a mirror, a reflection of the inner state of 7 billion people on this planet. You have pockets of absolute beauty.
Yeah, and you know, I think every guest I have talks about that. We talk about that. It's our inner work.
Yeah.
It's a mirror out there, and until we do that work, we aren't going to see it.
I think we're getting that now. You know, I think that really since we moved past 1999, which was a pivotal year, 2012, another pivotal year, 2016, that will be another pivotal year, as we're moving past these pivotal years, we are really getting it, because people are talking about inner peace now and recognizing this is where we need to make the peace first before we find it in the world. In a way, they were not talking about this in this way before 1999.
Yes, and there is a lot of talk of that inner peace. I think where we get frustrated is we see the news out there, and it's, you know, we're still seeing all the wars and everything, and so that's where that frustration comes from. But there is so much more. So many more people working on themselves, looking at the inner part of themselves and healing those aspects. Then it's kind of like the 100th monkey. The more people do it, the more people that will reflect back to others.
Yeah, it's looking at the microcosmic and the macrocosmic. If we look at the microcosmic in terms of peace, we're looking at, you know, people that have made that journey in themselves are the microcosm in the world. The macrocosm is the unintegrated energies. And slowly but surely, the more people that do that work on themselves, the inner peace garden, if you like, will become the macrocosm. And hopefully then the conflict out there in the world becomes the microcosm. This is going to take time, but it's possible. For sure.
Yes. Yes. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today, Nicolia.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it, and I've enjoyed talking to you. Thank you.
Yes. And be sure, everybody, you can check out her website, Nicolia, Nicolya, Christie with an I, .com, and look for her book, Contemporary Spirituality for an Evolving World. And I'm Chris Stanis, the founder of Woman of Wisdom Foundation. And I'm still putting out a call for our healers, body workers, and intuitive readers for our fundraising event in Seattle. It's our Sacred Pampering Day for Women, May 30th. Just go to our website, womanofwisdom.org, look under program. You'll see all our events, our various programs pop down, and you'll see Sacred Pampering. And you can see all the information there. It's a great day, and mark your calendars to come and get some self-care, self-compassion, and rejuvenation on that day. So it's the close of our show now. I just want to mention my book too, Woman of Wisdom, Empowering the Dreams and Spirit of Woman. It's also an Amazon bestseller and award-winning book, and it makes a great gift. Could be a Mother's Day gift, hint, hint, or for yourself, just for inspiration of the divine feminine from many different voices, art and poetry, And I'd love for you to check that out. Okay, well, I hope everybody has a great spring weekend, and we will talk to you next week.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today, radio with Chris Stainis.